Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. Happy Friday, it's March 13th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. A proposed housing development near Yosemite National Park is raising eyebrows.
I think first and foremost, people don't want to see development on the edge of a national park.
Why a developer wants to build homes right next to the park and why it may be totally legal. We'll have that conversation in just a moment, but first, these news headlines. There is no imminent threat to California from Iran. That is the latest message from Governor Gavin Newsom. He says there's no threat to Californians after a previous alert from the FBI. ABC News reported the FBI had warned California that Iran wanted to send drones to the West Coast. The White House also now says that there's no danger. Newsom said state agencies are in communication to strategize on worst-case scenarios. Meanwhile, Iran's sports minister says the country's soccer team won't compete in the World Cup, citing the U.S. war. That's according to the Associated Press. Iran is scheduled to play two matches in L.A. this summer against New Zealand and Belgium. Libby Rainey with our news partner LAist reports.
Iran's participation in the World Cup has been in question since the U.S. and Israel launched a bombing campaign against the country in late February. On Wednesday, the country's sports minister told state television that Iran's team would not participate, citing the joint U.S.-Israeli operation that killed Iran's supreme leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. A FIFA spokesperson told LAist that Iran has not formally pulled out. If they do, it'll be up to FIFA to determine next steps, including which team would potentially replace them.
That was Libby Rainey with LAist. A new analysis of conventionally grown fruits and vegetables found that nearly 40% in California had residues of so-called forever chemicals. Laura Clivens with our news partner KQED has more.
The Environmental Working Group review found 9 out of 10 peaches, nectarines, and plums tested had traces of PFAS, also called forever chemicals. Strawberries had 14 different kinds. PFAS stay in the environment and bodies for a long time. They can alter the way our immune systems work and hurt reproductive health. Andres Cardenas researches exposures to chemicals at the Stanford School of Medicine. He says the analysis brings up two main concerns.
One is personal exposure through consumption, and the second thing is contamination of drinking water and soil as well.
Cardenas says people should still eat fresh fruits and vegetables, but opt for organic where possible and be sure to wash conventional ones.
That was Laura Clivens with KQED. Democrat Katie Porter says she wants to get rid of in-state tuition at public universities. Porter's running for California governor, and she says she wants to bring down the cost of attending school. Specifically, Porter's idea would eliminate tuition for the third and fourth year of university. She says her idea would build on an existing state program that already allows first-time students to attend community college at no cost. Porter said college used to be free to attend altogether in the past, but now saddles students with major debt. Porter teaches law at UC Irvine. A Republican state assemblywoman from the Valley says she has uncovered a potential discrepancy with hospice care centers in Southern California. Alexandra Macedo, who represents Tulare, says she's found 197 hospice agencies registered to a single address in Van Nuys. Her Republican colleagues joined in a letter to Governor Gavin Newsom asking him to investigate the matter. They highlighted a 2022 state audit that recommended the state review hospice care regulations to prevent fraud.
Central Valley Daily listeners like to know what's going on in their community. And coming up this spring is our Corks and Brews event. On Sunday, May 3rd, we'll have nearly 40 different wineries and breweries waiting to pour you a drink. Come put a face to the names of the people behind this podcast. We'll also have live music, a silent auction, and food trucks. Tickets are $75. Get yours today at kvpr.org.
And now to our main story. A mysterious housing developer is looking to build over 100 new homes on private land near the edge of Yosemite National Park. The company, Camp Yosemite LLC, is registered to an address in Orange County, and it doesn't appear to have any formal connection to the proposed site in Mariposa County. The new development would require potential residents to travel through the national park to get home, which you can imagine could add to Yosemite's existing traffic issues. To find out more about the proposed development and a state provision which could work in the developer's favor, today we're speaking to Curtis Alexander. He's a former Fresno Bee reporter and is now an enterprise reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle.
The project is proposed on privately owned land along Yosemite's western boundary. And for those who are familiar with the park, the property where the housing is proposed is right next to Yosemite West, which is a small residential community also along the park border. That community was built out in the 1960s with homes as used to be an old logging property, but today it's mostly vacation rentals, people up there during the summer. One of the things that is unique about Yosemite West and this property where the housing is being proposed is that you have to drive through the national park to get there. You have to take Park Service roads, go into the park, and drive up there. And that's kind of an unconventional situation for a housing arrangement.
Yeah, certainly. So as we mentioned, this developer is proposing this pretty large housing development. Lay out for us what's in the proposal.
Sure. The plans that were submitted to Mariposa County were pretty rudimentary, but it lays out basically 110 factory-built modular homes on a stretch of newly built roads out there. Basically, my understanding of the modular homes is they're homes that are built off-site, and the pieces of them are brought up on trucks and then pieced together like Legos up on the mountain. They're easy to build. You can put them up pretty quickly, and I've heard they're energy efficient. 20% of those 110 homes, according to the plans, would be reserved for low-income families. This plot is about 31 acres. The developer purchased it back in August for $1.7 million, county records show.
Okay. Any idea why the developer was interested in this area specifically?
I think that's the million-dollar question. It's kind of an odd place to build a housing development. So it's really not clear why they chose this development. The company that's behind it is registered as Camp Yosemite, which has a mailing address down in Orange County, and not much is known about them. They don't have a record of building housing before, but developers often create LLCs for each development that they build. And it appears as though the people who started Camp Yosemite and some of the people on the paperwork that was filed to the county have been involved with other LLCs that have proposed some developments, notably in Santa Barbara County and Santa Clara County. But Yosemite just seems sort of like an outlier.
Okay, in your report, you write that the developer has invoked something known as the builder's remedy. I thought you could explain that for us and how it applies to this situation.
Yeah, the builder's remedy is a provision in California's Housing Accountability Act that tries to make it easier for developers to build homes. And we all know that California needs homes. We're experiencing a housing crisis. Specifically, what the builder's remedy does is it allows developers to bypass local zoning rules if a city or county doesn't have a state-approved housing plan or housing element, as they call it in Sacramento. Under the housing element, the state has to plan and ultimately build a certain amount of homes to help try to shore up California's housing shortage. When a state doesn't have a certified plan, a builder can basically avoid a lot of the local regulation by just committing to make 20% of their new housing affordable or below market rate.
Okay. Was there any sort of timeline? I know this is early stages, but what would be required for this to be approved and move forward? Do we know?
Well, the county would have to give it approval, and the county has already said that they're going to go through a environmental impact report under the California Environmental Quality Act to check this thing out. And that could take a year or two. But sure. I haven't heard a timeline for the project yet. You know, one thing I should note is I did reach out to the developer and some of the people who are affiliated with the development, and I have not had my calls or messages returned. So I wasn't able to get a lot of the answers I was hoping to get.
Sure. What about local community members or county supervisors or anyone in Mariposa area? Have they responded?
Yeah, I mean, people in the area and some of the people who work for the county government seem to be very confused about this project, and a lot of them just don't like it. I think first and foremost, people don't want to see development on the edge of a national park. You know, the forests there serve as a buffer to the park's famous natural landscapes and are key to protecting some of the wildlife communities in the park. There's the Pacific Fisher. I've talked to people who are concerned about the endangered species. Apparently it's key habitat for the fisher there. There are people who have raised questions about noise and light pollution in the park and about erosion and runoff into the Merced River watershed. One conversation I had was with a woman who is a member of the Southern Sierra Miwok tribe, and that tribe recently acquired 900 acres of forest right up against the property where the development is proposed. And she does not want to see this property developed. They're worried that the project could affect the tribe's conservation work that they've started doing on the land. And it could also disrupt some of the rituals and ceremonies they've begun holding there.
Lastly, we touched on this a little bit, Curtis, but I want to end by just zooming out a little bit and talk about how this situation sort of fits into the broader conversation of building more housing here in California. This builder's remedy, which we talked about, sort of allows these developers to maybe circumvent some rules that are typically in place. Any instinct on whether we could see more situations like this that are potentially disruptive to communities? Or is it sort of a situation where providing more housing is really the ultimate priority, even if that comes at a cost to a certain community?
Well, the builder's remedy has been around for actually decades. I think it was inserted into the California Housing Code back in 1990. But only recently have developers started invoking the builder's remedy. And that's because cities and counties have been under greater pressure and have had to hit higher targets for how much housing they've had to plan and build. And that's put them farther behind in their planning documents. And therefore, that's opened the window for developers to come in and tap this clause under the Housing Authority Act. But you've seen recently the builder's remedy used in quite a few areas. It's mostly been used for urban infill and suburban subdivision type projects, not these rural type projects that has been proposed at the edge of Yosemite. I mean, it's clear that California needs housing and that some cities and counties are opposed to housing and haven't wanted to sort of build their share according to what the state says they need to build. So there needs to be, I think, penalties or, you know, incentives for cities and counties to build more housing. And that's what the builder's remedy is. But at the same time, you don't want to just allow any developer to come in and build something without any regulation. You sort of need some guardrails on what's going to be done. And I think trying to find the fine line between that is really what's ahead of us now.
Curtis Alexander, reporter with the San Francisco Chronicle. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
And if you have a story idea related to Yosemite or the Sierra more generally that you think we should know about, don't hesitate to reach out. Email us at podcast@kvpr.org. And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.